Take one verse of scripture for our text. Colossians 3 and verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's go read it one more time. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we come before you reverently this morning, Lord, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the supreme authority, the supreme judge, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you are God. And we believe, Father, that you came down in this hour before many of us were even born. You met your prophet on the Ohio River. And then you came down with your shout. And Father, that shout was given. The seals were opened years before many in this room were even born. But we know this is the end time. And we know that the words that your prophet gave us, both the positive and the negative, both those things which are a warning, and we see those warnings coming to pass even today. But knowing that we see those things coming to pass, we know also that the blessings and the promises of deliverance will be just as real as what we're seeing. The crumbling of America falling apart, and yet your prophet said, 1956, it's over. What a God of mercy, giving us 50, almost 60 years to get ourselves ready. And so, Lord, we're thankful for what you've done. We're thankful that you've allowed us to have our children and our children's children, because we have a promise in the Bible that we would be there with our children and our children's children. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we're thankful for this. We're thankful for this day. And we ask you, Father, to help us get ready for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to speak on the token again, number 18, the witness of the Spirit, number 5. And we're going to focus on the new birth. From Colossians 3 and 3 we read, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if you are dead, then what kind of an expression does a dead man have? A dead man doesn't retaliate, does he?
No.
Dead horses don't kick and dead men don't fight back. Then if you want to know if you're truly dead to self and your life is covered over by the life of Jesus Christ, then give yourself the word test. Now this morning I'd like to continue in our thoughts that we left off last night from Brother Bram's sermon, The Token. And we'll continue from where we left off reading last night. We left off reading 65. We're going to go to 66 tonight, or this morning begin. Brother Bram said, what if there was one Jew standing there stirring the blood as the lamb was bleeding and saying, this is Jehovah. And there stood a priest saying, yes, sir, I believe that's true, but at his own house, it hasn't been applied. How many ministers have I seen who got in the pulpit every week, week in, week out, hit the people as hard as they could with righteous preaching, and yet their own families were a mess because they didn't watch their own families. They didn't apply it to their own families. How many people have I seen in this message? Oh, I've seen a lot. Where the children at 17, 18 years old, they leave the word, they leave church, they walk out. Why? Because the parents didn't apply the token to their own home. They applied it to their fellowship, to their friends. They could stand around and talk the word while the children were off doing whatever the children do. They didn't include the children in their family prayer. They didn't include the children in their discussions around the Word. so the children became a lost generation. I see the evidence of it everywhere. And it's really sad because I live for my family, my children, and now my grandchildren. That's my life. You are my life. You people are my life. It's what it's all about. We're going to spend eternity together. So Brother Branham said, but on his own house, it hasn't been applied. He didn't want to identify himself out there with that group. No, sir. With this fanatic, with the blood on the door. He didn't want that identification, no matter how much priest he was, how much he knew the word, how well he had raised, what works he had done, how much he'd give to the poor, how much he'd sacrificed. Paul said, I give my body to be burned as a sacrifice. Give all my goods to feed the poor. I have faith to move mountains and so forth and speak in tongues like men and angels and all these things, and said, I'm nothing until the token's been applied. You see how Brother Brown took it right to 1 Corinthians? Until this token, that's what I'm speaking on tonight, the love, see? Now, until this has been applied, I am nothing, see? I don't care. You might have cast out devils. You might have healed the sick with your prayer faith. You might have done all these things, but if that token that's not there, if that token's not there, you're under the wrath of God. And you know what? It's in the land. It's coming. You might be a believer. You might stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have not I preached in your name? Preached in your name. Have not I cast out devils in your name? That both Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal said. Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. But when I see the token, I'll pass over you. It's God's requirement of the hour, the evening time message, is to apply the token. You say the evening time message is God came down. And then apply it. The judge is here. Don't go around acting like the judge isn't here. Apply the token. Noah had to apply what God told him to do. God told him judgment's coming. Here's how you can get out of it. You got to enter into this ark. We have an ark. It's called the message of the hour. You've got to enter into it. Not just say, hey, it's good for Dad, good for Mom. Oh, I agree with it, but I just can't live it. Listen, no one can live it, but you can all die to it. You understand what I mean? Because you've got to die in order for Christ to live your life for you. He's not going to share your house with you. He's not going to share your vessel. God won't share his glory with no man. So he wants to take it over. I want to give it to him, like Brother Brown said. I want to loan it to him, give it to him, whatever he can get out of it. Now, 68. Satan's thrown all kinds of counterfeits of shaking hands and evidences and everything like that. Forget it. The hour has arrived that the token itself, not some counterfeit, make-believe, substitutionary, anything, the hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right among us and proving that he's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever, and he's right with the word, and it's God to be applied. Oh, we forgot that part. We believe he's here. Hallelujah. Let's go have our Super Bowl parties. It's got to be applied. A man that says he's got the token, deny this word, then what about it? See, you can't do it. The token's got to be there. When I see, the blood shall be a token unto you. Now the spirit, the life that was in the blood is a token unto you. Get to it in a moment, see? The Holy Ghost is a token. The case is closed, yes sir. Now notice that Brother Branham is saying, no matter how much he is here, if you do not apply it, you are out. If you do not live like he's here, it won't do you no good knowing that he's here. Now remember, and it doesn't matter what you are, how good you are, how many times you've jumped up and down, how many churches you've joined, how many good things that you've done. It won't mean one thing to you if the token isn't applied. This is the evening time. That worked all right in the days of Luther. That worked all right in the days of Wesley. But it won't work now. No. Yeah, keeping up the Lamb was all right then. Those who died then, before the Lamb was applied, the blood, it was different. Yes, sir. They went on because of good conscience. They'd be judged whether they were, if they were predestinated, it struck them. If it didn't, it don't. That's all. It's just God. He justifies whom we will. And he has mercy on whom we will. And he condemns whom we will. He's God. That's all. He has mercy on whom he will have mercy and condemns who he wants to condemn. A Jew couldn't plainly show by the circumcision that he's a believer. There's many men, fundamental men, who can take this Bible and say, I'm a believer. And Jesus said, by faith, we are saved. Well, I'm a believer, but that baptism of the Holy Ghost is nonsense. Then the token isn't applied. Oh, but I believe he's here, but that baptism of the Holy Ghost stuff is nonsense. Is it? He's saying he's here, and if that life isn't radiating through you, you haven't applied it. If you're not aware of his presence, like Billy Paul said, every time that angel of God came around, he said, I knew ever since I met him. So my question to you is, have you met him? Have you met him? Are you aware? I'm a believer. And Jesus said, we're saved by faith. I'm a believer. But that baptism of the Holy Ghost is nonsense. Then the token isn't applied. No matter how much he believes, it's a no. Just like the circumcision of a Jew, he said, I'm a Jew. Why do I have to go out there and act like that bunch of fanatics? Moses standing, and you know, that's what they think of us who stand on John 14:12. Now let me just make it very, very plain for you. I do not believe that it is necessary to fulfill John 14:12 by doing all the miracles Jesus did, or even any of them. But I do believe that John 14:12 is fulfilled in your life, in your actions, in your words. And if perchance your life is so pleasing to God, and he wants to use you, because he's sovereign, he wants to use you to stop the sun, to stop a tornado, to stop whatever he wants you to do. I believe that your life is so pleasing to him when he reveals to you to step out by faith, you are so connected with him that you can't help but to speak that word and those things will take place. It says so in the Church Age book. When the bride comes to the place, page 15, when the bride comes to the place where she knows who she is, watch the greater works take place in her. And yet the greatest work is imparting life. I want you parents to focus on that with your children. What greater thing could you have than to go into the resurrection, through the rapture, to the other side with your children? It's a promise from God, Isaiah chapter 66. Believe for them. Apply that token. Live such a life before them that they want what you've got. That they see the hypocrisy of everything else. No matter how much he believes, it's a no. Just like the circumcision of the Jew, he said, I'm a Jew. Why do I have to go out there and act like that bunch of fanatics? And Moses standing up and down the street, he said, the evening message is here. It shall come to pass at the end of the 14th day, you shall gather the congregation together and kill the lamb. The whole congregation of Israel shall kill it, putting their hands upon it, identifying themselves with it, and the blood shall be struck upon the post and upon the lintel of the door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. For it's a token that you've accepted the death of the lamb that I've provided for you. Amen. When he looks upon a life that is reflecting his life, then he says, I see the evidence that the death of the Lamb has taken place. Because we are lambs of God. Amen? The blood was only evidence that the death took place of the Lamb.
and your complete submission and obedience to your Heavenly Father in all things is your bloody evidence that you have died to yourself.
The blood was a token. Now the Spirit is a token. You should be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when the blood was shed, the token that was sent down on the day of Pentecost like a mighty rushing wind, that was the theme of every apostle. That was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive this gift of the Holy Ghost, for it's a token, amen, that you pass from death unto life. There you are. When the Jewish church faded out, the Gentile taking it over, that perversion like that, now she's come out to get that remnant of the Gentile for his namesake, the bride. See what I mean? See what the scripture speaking of here? If the token was not displayed, then the covenant was not effective. See, it must be, because if you say you believe and you don't follow the instructions of the word, then you don't believe. I wish I could blow that up to 25 points or something right now, just so that you would just, if you got pen and paper, write that down. If you say you believe and you don't follow the instructions of the word, then you don't believe. Amen. See, though you be circumcised, though you be justified, though you be sanctified, though you join, though you're baptized, you've got all these things like that, that still isn't the token, the Holy Ghost. And that is a pathetic truth that we see all over the message today. So many claim to believe it, but you can't tell them, you can't tell their life from a Baptist or a Pentecostal or even a Catholic. In fact, I would say that you look upon a Catholic, at least the ones I know, you look upon their lives and you're going to say, wow, except for the hair maybe on the women, they sure live a better life than a lot of people I know in this message. Now we read last night in the Church Age book, Patmos Vision, page 16. Those who heard and wouldn't listen will be judged by what they heard. Those that rested in it, saying they believed it, but didn't live it, will be judged. There you go. But Brother Brown said you must follow the instructions. And from his sermon, you must be born again. He tells us what those instructions are. He says, I want to take the subject this morning of Jesus' first doctrine. The first doctrine of Jesus was you must be born again. That was his first doctrine. And we find out that there is so many different meanings that people put it to. Nearly all churches say that you must be born again, but each one has their own different interpretation to that. Well, you know, we could take the message. And we could say, we got 2 million believers that claim to believe Brother Branham and what he said. And we probably got, how many ministers are there? Probably 5,000. So we get 5,000 different interpretations at least of the message, of what he said. He said that we find there are so many different meanings that people put to it. Nearly all churches say that you must be born again. But each one has their different interpretations to that, what it means to be born again. I might go to a Methodist church this morning and say, and they say, well, we believe that you must be born again. And I'd ask, how do you interpret it? Well, I go to a Baptist church and we believe you must be born again. How do you interpret it? And I would go to each church and we find, if we went to all the 900 different denominations of the churches, there'd be 900 different interpretations. So how many camps are there in the message? That's how many different interpretations you got. At least. Plus you got, of those people that aren't in any camp because they don't go to church, probably 500,000 at least. Probably got 500,000 different interpretations of what the message is to them. There'd be 900 different interpretations. So seeing that there is so many different interpretations and yet a Bible doctrine, there must be and is a truth somewhere. Now there is an approach to this birth. And to approach this birth, you have to go through a process. Just like anything that lives again has got to die first. and you cannot keep your own your same spirit, you cannot keep your same habits, you cannot keep your same thoughts, you've got to die. You've got to die like he died. You got to die in his altar like Abel died with his lamb. You got to die with your lamb. You got to die. Die to your own thinking to be born to his thinking.
Amen.
Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. You got to think his thoughts. And now, brother, sister, let me say this as intelligent as I know how to say it. How can you think his thoughts and deny his word and yet claim that you're born again? Now just ask yourself that question. How can you do it? You can't. If you're born again, you got his thoughts. If the mind of Christ is in you, then you are a new creature. The Bible says that. And if any brother would like to, where you find that creature, look that word up, creature, in the lexicon, you'll find out that the word creature is interpreted or translated as a new creation. Because you're a new creation, a human being born in sexual desire here on the earth, and now you're a new creation born by spirit. Your own thoughts are dead. They're so dead until they're crystal, like the brass serpent, or like he died when the heavens and earth and everything witnessed that he was dead. Now notice, Brother Bab said there's an approach to this birth. The problem is, we got 900 different denominations have a different approach. Right in this message, the approach is, well, you don't have to have an experience with God. All you got to do is have, just believe the message. Believe the message, and it's okay. Believe the message, and you got it. And all these kids are raised up, and they say, I believe the message. And then they see the hypocrisy in the pulpit. They see hypocrisy in the parents. And they say, hi, yeah, yeah, if this is what it is, I don't want nothing to do with it. When I came out of Catholicism and I came into this message, the first big meeting I went to, all these preachers sat around talking about other preachers. And I said, I thought I had reached heaven, but I feel like right now I'm in hell. Went down in 75 to some meetings, or not 75, it was 78. Fair Green Church. They have an international ministers meeting there. And you talk about all the funny different doctrines being preached. And men standing outside and making fun of other young brothers who just had normal questions and just mocking them and everything else because they didn't understand their mindset. Listen, when you get to the point where you get arrogant and you start calling people ignorant because they don't understand something that you understand, you better watch out because pride cometh before a fall.
That's trial.
Better be careful. This is the time to start getting humble. I wouldn't want to approach God with a prideful spirit. I want to approach Him as humble as I can get. It appalled me. I stood there, 25 years old. And these ministers were just, some guy was preaching on two souls. So after the service, and this minister's convention, I mean, it was the most polluted thing I'd ever been to. I mean, you heard all kinds of crazy stuff. Even one guy showed a film of him coming down in a cloud. Yeah. And all of his deacons wore pistols in there. I mean, you talk about crazy. Every false doctrine was at that convention, and I walked out, and my head was swimming, and I said, Lord, if this is heaven, what's hell like? So a young man came up. He was about 28 years old, a few years older than I was. He's pastor New Mexico. He came up to the preacher from Ohio that was preaching on two souls, and he said, I just don't understand. He said, how you can have two souls? And the man, in his 40s, 50s, began to mock the young man. And all his henchmen, I'll call them henchmen, about eight of them standing around, they just made mockery of the guy. He just asked a simple question, how can you be born? How can you have two souls? And I thought, what a lousy spirit. Let me say something.
I've met over 3,500 ministers. I've taught them directly. I've met probably more than that I didn't teach. And I can say probably on count of my hands, the ministers I've met that have the Holy Ghost, that are so in love with the Lord Jesus, so in love with God's people, they live a humble life, and they just want to see people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. On the other hand, you've got thousands got their heads up in the air, they're proud. And don't worry, their churches are just like them, because Brother Brown said you can't live any higher than your pastor. And what a shame. I think that's why Brother Branham in the vision, when the angel, when he saw the church out of America, he held his head in disgust and said, "If this is all that I've been able to produce with all the blood, sweat, and tears." And then God showed him just a little bride coming. Dressed right, everything else. But a couple got out of line and he shouted those words, "Stay in line." Ever since that time, every time I go down the highway and they've got to stay in lane, it hits me, stay in line. Stay in line. So Brother Brown says there's an approach to this birth, so we need to know what that approach is. And we must know if we have come God's provided way or not. And that way is the way of death. You must die. Not only die, but you must die so bad that you rot to yourself and you want nothing to do with who you were. Too many people are proud of their excursions as young men. I had a young man years ago, he in the church, and he still had pictures of when he played in a rock and roll band, long hair and everything else, burnt himself out with drugs, and I said, "Brother, I would get rid of that stuff. I would never, if I did anything wrong as a young, unconverted pre-believer, I would never tell my children what I did. It's under the blood. Why would I want to remove it from under the blood? Why should my children ever know if I was a scoundrel or not?" We get man after man after man get up and testify, "Oh, I was a drunk, praise God, I was a drunk, and the Lord saved me." Good gracious. Go off to the Baptist church someplace. The Bible says I'm dead. And you know what else? My life is hid. It's hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. "From you must be born again," Brother Brown said. "If you still love the things of the world, you're deceived. Your sacrifice hasn't been accepted yet, and your nature hasn't been changed." Now, do you know what it means to be born again? See, your nature's changed. You become a new creature. But you've got to die first, and then be born again. You must be born again, from the message. He says, now, it must die. Now, that don't mean that turn another page now. This is a new year. You say, "Brother Brown, I've been coming here for a long time. I've been a member of the church. This new year's, I'm going to turn a new page and start anew." That don't mean that. Not turn a new page, but actually die. Actually die and be born again. See, you've got to feel so guilty when you stand in His presence. Whether you go to the Methodist way or the Baptist way or whatever way you want to go, it could be the message way, you know, the false message way. You've got to be so guilty and feel so guilty till it'll kill you. That's right. It'll kill you. Your worldly life will die right there. You've got to reckon yourself so guilty in the presence of God until your worldly life dies right there. The sin question's over for you when you're standing in His presence. When you look like that, you're sure to live because you die. And the only way you can live again is to die first so that you can live again. Now, see what I'm coming to, don't you? See that? What the birth is, the new birth, first
to die in order to be born again. Now, I've been hammering on this for about 5 years. Brother Don Hawker called me the other day and he said, he's been hammering on it now for about the last 6 months. I went up there a few years ago and I preached a message about, you probably all remember it. I talked about how if you were to bury somebody alive, you'd be thrown in prison. And yet we bury people in baptism all the time that have never died to self. That's what's happening. The churches are filled up with people that have been baptized, buried alive. And so they go down a dry center, they come up a wet center. Hey, I'm guilty of it. Remember telling a story about the young man that wanted to marry somebody in the church? So the parents said, you can marry that person, their daughter, if you attend church. They had been good Baptist people. So the boy came, he attended church. So he wanted to show the parents. He was really excited. So he said, I want to get baptized. So we took him out to a Licking Creek, Licking River. Brought him down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came up came a bottle of beer. Everybody got the whiff. Everybody knew what was going on. And within 2 years, he was back in drugs and alcohol first and drugs. And then the marriage didn't last 2 years. God will not be mocked.
Sure.
But Brother Ram said, you've got to reckon yourself so guilty in the presence of God until your worldly life dies right there. And I've got the question for all of you young people in here. And some of us later. Have you gotten to the point where you hate yourself, your life so much that you got on your face and you could feel the presence of God's angel there with his sword ready to cut your head off if you lifted your head? Have you had that backside of the desert experience where you have reckoned yourself that you can't stand yourself any longer? And if you haven't had that experience, you're not dead yet. Well, you know, I'm a good person. I was raised in the message. I haven't committed adultery, I haven't drank, I haven't smoked, I haven't taken booze or alcohol or drugs or any of that stuff. I'm a pretty good person. And you're not dead. You're not dead. You're not dead. You might have a whooping cry when somebody, one of your friends, makes a derogatory remark about you and says something that you don't like. And you feel bad, so you go and you cry. That's not it. They might have seen something in you, and you cry because you reject the fact that you've been rejected. But until you reject yourself, until you reject yourself, you have no chance of being born again. Because you've got pride. You're still full of pride. So Brother Branham says, and the only way that you can live again is to die first so that you can live again. Now you see what I'm coming to, don't you? What the new birth is? First to die in order to be born again. And if you still got the things of the world in you, you're not born again. And how are you going to claim to be born again and still with the things of the world hanging on you? See, how can you do it? It's like people have a little squabble. And so the first thing they do is they go onto Facebook and they put all kinds of things on Facebook to try to justify their side of the squabble. Why don't you die? Why don't you all get off of Facebook and get into God's book? That's a challenge. People spend more time on Facebook than they do in the Word of God. And they say, well, I'm going to go in the rapture, are you? I think you're going to go on Facebook. That's the cares of this world. If you love the world or the cares of this world. The devil is pretty smart. He says, Brother Brown said, in his day, they preached against going to the movies. So what did he do? He said, toward the end of Brother Brown's day, they bring in the TV set. He said, now, the devil's smart. He brought it into your home. Okay, I'll get rid of the TV set, we say. So the devil says,
I'll bring them the computer.
So they can waste more time in frivolity instead of a self-examination. You know, if you spent quiet time, if you spent as much time in quiet time as you did on Facebook, instead of seeing what everybody else is doing, why don't you see what you're doing? Search your soul, as David said, try me and see if there be any wicked way in me.
Yeah. I think so, brother, sister.
20 years ago, not even so 20 years ago, 10 years ago, before Facebook, before selfies, if you walked into somebody's house and they had pictures of themselves all over the house, you'd say, that person is pretty vain. In fact, that person probably is mental. And yet I see it, and it's more with women than it is with men, but you could turn on some young woman's Facebook claiming to believe the message, and you've got a 10, 20, 30 poses of them. Them. Not their friends, unless they're in the picture with them. Everybody wants to be a movie star. How about if we become Messiahs? Lambs of God. You know what we need? We need a squeeze. You know what we need? We need no electricity. And some of you in here and out there, if God decides to pull the plug, no electricity for a week or a month, you are going to go through 2 or 3 days of withdrawal. And let me tell you, computers are addicting. You carry it with you in your pocket. And you're going to go through withdrawal. Every 10 minutes, you look at that thing. Texting while you're driving down the road. We're so infatuated with self. And we haven't died to self. And then we claim to be born again because we believe God sent a prophet. The same question's over when you're standing in His presence. He said, you've got to reckon yourself so guilty in the presence of God until your worldly life dies right there. The same question's over for you when you're standing in His presence. When you look like that, you're sure to live because you die. And the only way you can live again is to die first so you can live again. Now you see what I'm coming to, don't you? See that? What the new birth is? The new birth, first to die in order to be born again. And if you still got the things of the world in you, you're not born again. And how are you going to claim to be born again and still with the things of the world hanging on you? See? How can you do it? Remember, Brother Brown told us there is an order. There's a process in order to be born again. And in his sermon, You Must Be Born Again, he tells us what that process is. He says, yes, to be born again, you must go through a process of death. Everything does. You take a grain of corn, if that corn ever expects to live again, it's got to die first. If a grain of wheat ever expects to live again, it's totally impossible for that corn, that wheat, that flower, that tree, that grass, that vegetable, everything that expects to live again must die first. Then how are you going to escape it? You've got to die first. You've got to die. Die how? To yourself. Die. To everything. So that you can be born again. You've got to do that. If you don't die, you can never live again. Again, from you must be born again. He said, now the approach of this birth, there is an approach to it, and the approach of this birth, you have to go through a process just like anything that lives. Anything that lives, again, got to die first, and you cannot keep your same spirit, you cannot keep your same habits, you cannot keep your same thoughts, you've got to die. You've got to die like he died. You've got to die on his altar like Abel did with his lamb. You've got to die with your lamb. You've got to die to your thinking, to be born to his thinking, that the mind of Christ that was in Christ be in you. You've got to die. You've got to think his thoughts. And now, brother and sister, let me say this as intelligent as I know how to say it. How can you think his own thoughts and deny his word, and yet claim that you're born again? Just ask yourself that question. How can you do it? You can't. If you're born again, you got his thoughts. If the mind of Christ is in you, then you are a new creature. Now, from Sirs, we would see Jesus. If he's a true disciple of Christ, he'll lead you to the cross. Oh, Brother Branham, I went out and spoke in tongues. That don't mean nothing. A mule did that one day. That's right. Yes, sir. That's right. I don't mean to make fun of God's holy word. I believe in speaking in tongues, but devils speak in tongues. People can speak in tongues and live any kind of a life. But I mean that the devil's got a copy of everything that God did. And he can copy everything but the genuine new birth of Christ. And he can't do that. Because you have to die first, then the word raises you up. How do you know when you're alive? When that word, every word of it, is made flesh. In Brother Brown? No? In Leavell? What does it say here? In you. When every word of it is made flesh in you. Everything that the Bible says, you say the same thing, and it comes to pass. It comes to pass just exactly like he said it. That's when it is. When your spirit agrees with him, he is the word. When your spirit agrees with what he said, and the spirit makes itself manifest through his word, then you're living. See? You're through shopping then, and swapping, and all the rest of it. It's all settled. From the message, why? Oh, in the hour of your death, how you long to hear that. Let the water and the blood from thy flowing wound supply be for sin a double cure, safe from wrath, and make me pure. You're here to die now. The only way that you can be born again is to die first so that you can be born again. And from the message, why? But as long as there's any hope for it, then it's not rotten yet. New life won't come. That's why we get up from the altar so many times without the Holy Spirit, because we don't rot enough to our own ideas. We got to meet God on his level. I like to meet him there because he never has failed me. The new birth is no different from any other birth. It's a mess. You ought to see what a mess that I was in when I got it. Now that's a vindicated prophet. And every once in a while, when it comes upon me again, I get messy again with it. I cry and boo-hoo and carry on till I guess I don't know. I don't look very good at all. But I got something on the inside of me that's taking me on and on and on and on. It's new life. I don't care what it looks like. I want to know what it is. That's the main thing. From the way back, he said, you know, the reason they do it, they're afraid of that new birth. I mean, the real new birth. Oh, everybody says, sure, I believe you must be born again. Yes, sir. Yes. But when it comes to the real birth, they believe the new birth by shaking hands, saying a bunch of creeds or something or another. Having the right doctrines. They call that the new birth. Listening to somebody's tapes, they call that the new birth. That ain't the new birth. They're afraid of the new birth. Now listen, any birth is a mess. I don't care whether it's in a pig pen or where it's at. It's a mess, any birth. And so is the new birth. It'll make you do things that you didn't think that you would ever do. But it brings life. And before you can have life, you have to have death. Before a seed can reproduce itself, it's got to die in order. And not only die, but it's got to rot. In order to get new life out of it, it's got to die and rot in itself. And so does every sinner. Every man, no matter how highly he's educated and how much he's polished, how many degrees he has in the church and so forth, how many of these things, how many colleges he's educated out of, he's got to die to his own theory. He's got to die to himself. He's got to die to everything to be reborn again by the Holy Ghost. It'll make him cry, boo-hoo, and speak in tongues and jump up and down and carry on like a maniac. But he's got new life. That's what it takes it to. He's got to have new life. They're afraid of the new birth. The new birth is a mess. So you young people afraid of this. Afraid of getting on your knees, examining your soul.
and asking God to take every bit of it out of you?
From it is I, be not afraid. Now, if that light doesn't do the same works that it did when it was in the Son of God, then it isn't the same one. You get that?
Sure.
It isn't. But if it does do the same works, just like I said, if you could take all the life out of an apple tree, every bit of that life, and transfer the life of a pear tree in an apple tree, it would bring forth pears. See, because the life is in it. That's what it bears. The fruit is in the life, of course. And that's the same thing here. If you put the life of Christ and take the life of a sinner out, and he has to die first, and then when the life of Christ comes into him, then he will reproduce the life of Christ because that's what's living in him.
Amen.
See?
Amen. Amen.
He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, because his life is in him.
Amen.
Why do we not see John 14:12?
Brother love.
Because the life of Christ isn't there. Oh, they got doctrine. They got church theology.
Mm-hmm.
They got a social message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they haven't died. From Colossians, he said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, when he shall manifest, then shall you also manifest with him in the same opinions, the same values, the same judgments. And in closing, from water separation, Brother Ann said, you've got to absolutely accept the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but you've got to die yourself. You've got to die to every thought of the flesh so that you can receive the mind of Christ and walk from henceforth, not of your own, but of his mind. The mind of Christ in you. That's the only way you can stay alive.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the only way I can stay alive. That's all I live by, is by the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, I am present tense, crucified.
Amen.
Nevertheless, somehow I'm living. Yet it's not I, Paul, that's living. But it's Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living, in this flesh, I'm living by his faith. Because he was the first one to die, to be born again.
Amen.
He died in Gethsemane.
And
he was raised up.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if through the spirit you do mortify the deeds of self, you shall live. So get rid of the selfies. That's a start. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then when we die to self, does that mean forever that we are dead men? Nope. Because it said, because I live, you shall live also. In one sense, you're dead to self, but in another sense, you have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Did the Apostle Paul say, for you are dead? But notice he went on to say, for your life is hid with Christ in God. And how can you then be in reality a dead man when you have a hidden life? It's not possible. But since I have become one body by being baptized into one spirit, then I am one with Christ, am I not? Then I am what Christ is. As the life I am now living in this flesh, I'm living by the life of Christ in me. Isn't he the head of the body? The hands don't do the thinking. The arms don't do the thinking. And the neck's not supposed to do the thinking. I know the women like to say that they're the neck that turns the head. But the bride of Christ is not the neck that turns the head. The head tells the neck and the arms and the legs what to do. I am crucified with Christ. So that's what I've done to the old man. I've killed it off. But Paul went on to say that although I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I'm living. I am alive. But it's not me that's living, but Christ himself that's living in me. And as Brother Brown said, if he is living in me, then the works that he does, I will do also. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you so much for this token message that your prophet gave to us. You gave to us through him. He yielded himself to thee. Father, I just pray. I pray for
every soul in here this morning. That if they know they have not died to self, that they might raise their hand right now and completely yield themselves to Thee. That You might see, Father, that they might see that their life is nothing, but Your life is everything. Be with us this morning, O God. Fill us. First of all, help us to rot to self. And then fill us with Your Spirit. For we ask it in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Ahem.